Good evening, Montreal and places far and wide. I want to apologize to you all right off the top of the show for bringing you yet another Monday Night Football debacle in advance of the Kauffman Show on TSN 690. I don't know how they can top this one next week, Jay.
Upon further review, the runner did not touch second base. Touchdown, Celtics.
Did Margaret Wente write that?
No. Okay. Inspector Deck tweeted it.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, in this day and age where plagiarism is, quite rampant, we have to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely. I don't steal anything unless I can give credit for it.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, man.
Good.
Very good. I'm blown away by this lack of foresight by the NFL.
That's an understatement.
Well, I guess the thing is the ratings probably aren't being affected.
Well, no. No, people are still going to be gambling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that...
And that was just... That last call on that play is just a nightmare. It's exactly what they wanted to avoid. So, you know, you might as well go with the call on the field where there's 50,000 Seattle fans watching.
There were two calls on the field. One guy had his hands up in the air like it was a touchdown, and one guy was waving his arms like it was an incomplete pass.
Did you see the hesitation, too? They both looked at each other like, you go first.
No, you
go first.
No, I've never seen a mess like this. Even when there were replacement umps in MLB a while ago, it was nowhere near this bad.
No.
Maybe it's just the quickness of the game. Maybe it's that the NFL selected their referees from the...
It's not only that.
From the Lingerie Football League.
Yeah, and I'll criticize the NFL for another reason. There are just... In football, there are just too many rules. There are too many rules. I mean, the game stems from rugby and, you know, I guess a bit of... You know, soccer in between and Australian rules football. And there are just too many technicalities.
You have to be able to find people that can referee an NFL game. This is a $9 billion business.
No, it's fine. But I often find the NFL boring, even when they have the normal referees. There's just too many rules. I guess you can't touch the game at this point. But I mean, sometimes it gets really annoying, to tell you the truth. Too many stoppages in plays, too many play reviews. And this is even when before they've had the replacement refs.
So this isn't...
It doesn't move.
This isn't fulfilling you, satiating you while hockey's not here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I like football, but, you know, I'm mad at hockey right now, so...
Well, I won't ask you to go toe-to-toe with our next guest.
I would never do that. I know better. I wouldn't do that behind a fridge.
Our next guest is one of the newest additions to the Montreal Canadiens, and we're very happy to have him on the show tonight. Hopefully he can tell us when he'll be playing. Let's welcome Brandon Press to the Kauffman Show. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I see your last tweet, which says, I don't know what all the fuss is about. I thought they called a good game, and then you hashtagged it, haha, not. That was insane, wasn't it?
Oh man, you don't know really what to say about that one. It's a tough situation.
Well, I imagine you've been in situations where you've been on the ice and the referee is dictating play and making it impossible, right?
Oh yeah, you know sometimes they're out there doing their best, and I'm sure these refs here are a little nervous. But I've definitely had my run-in with refs over the years, so.
Well, it's good to have you in Montreal, and, you know, it sort of must feel like you're on a bit of an extended vacation right now in Montreal. We were all hoping that we'd get to see you practicing and in the exhibition season by now.
Yeah, I know. It's been a lot of build-up since I signed, and then I get here, and I'm kind of hoping things get underway, and now we're kind of sitting around in a lull right now, so it's definitely not a lot of fun. Continuing to train and skate with the guys here in Montreal.
At what point towards the end of the season last year did you have the feeling that you weren't going to be playing off the start of the next season?
I think even up until the last couple of weeks, I think we believed that, we could still get something done and maybe we would get close to an agreement anyway, and then maybe the owners would quit being so absurd. So, but then it never happened.
Did you see Jim Devolano's comments?
Yes, it did.
Would you mind commenting on the idea that he compared players to cattle and owners to ranchers?
Well, you know, I definitely don't want to get too far into that one, but yeah, that's obviously not a good way to kind of describe it. So, I mean, I would not like to think of myself as cattle, but, you know, obviously it might be one of the ways some people are feeling right now.
Well, I could see how it was offensive, but on the other hand, there is kind of a ring of truth to it in the sense that, you're beholden to that who pays your salary, and you could jump tomorrow to the next guy. You know, I understood why the league fined him for it, but I think the league fined him for it because there was a real hint of truth to what he was saying.
Yeah, I you know, when I was reading it, I guess I totally didn't really disagree with his comments. You know, sometimes, you know, we're treated pretty good by the league and the owners, but obviously in a time like this is when it really kind of comes out and shows, you know, who the top dogs are and who are the cattle.
Are you potentially looking into maybe playing in Europe this year, Brandon?
I don't think so. You know, I'm gonna stay over here and continue to you know, skate and practice and train and take care of the body. The body's definitely taken a beating the last few years, so I might, you know, use this time to heal it up and get it back to 100%.
Over 20 fights in the last 2 years, you have not missed a game, which is just unbelievable. And Montreal Canadiens fans are so excited for that aspect to be part of our lineup. It's something that the Canadiens have been so long missing, and it's quite the shame that we're not quite there right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, we all just want to get playing. And like I said, there's been, you know, kind of a lot of hype, and we've made a lot of changes here in the Montreal organization. And I think we're ready to kind of to get the ball rolling and get the season started. And, you know, we're all, even just when I came here about a week before, you know, the lockout started, just the feeling around the dressing room, all the boys, you know, we're just, we're excited, but we know that this lockout might be coming, and, you know, just talking to some of the coaching staff and everybody, you know, everybody's on the same page, and we just want to get going, but it's just, it's a bummer that we got to sit around and wait like this.
We're finishing up with Brandon Prust from the Montreal Canadiens. Brandon, I wanted to ask you do a lot of really cool charity work in the London area. Maybe you could tell a bit of our listeners a little bit about it.
Yeah, I do a lot of charity work over the years, but this year I started my own kind of foundation, and it's called Prusty for Kids. And what we did and what we're going to be supporting from now on is a program that we've started in our children's hospital back home in London. It's one of the biggest children's hospitals in Canada, and definitely the biggest in southwestern Ontario. So it's a great program. It's called Kids Kicking Cancer, and it's for all the kids that are going through their cancer treatments. We have a room there, and you know, kids. It's a kind of a getaway room for the kids to take their mind off what they're going through. And we have a martial arts instructor there, and teaching them breathing techniques and some martial arts and stuff like that. So it really helps the kids cope with what they're going through.
That's awesome. Where did you get the idea to start that?
Well, I've always done a lot of work with the Children's Hospital. That one's always been close to my heart. So I went to them, you know, last year and said, what's a program that you guys are really, or what does this hospital really need or what you're looking for? And this Kids Kicking Cancer is something they brought to my attention, and we thought it was great. So it actually just launched. I went home this past weekend. They just started it up, and it was pretty incredible, and we're pretty proud of it.
Jay Farrar?
Brandon, you know, if I can find a lighter side to the lockout, have you had a chance to look around the city? I guess you had a little more time than you thought you would. Have you had a chance to be around the city, and have you been enjoying it?
Yeah, I have. You know, that's part of the reasons why I signed here is because I love the city. It's a great town, and I'm spending a lot of my time on the plateau. And
good stuff.
My girl lives out here, so you know, we're always trying new restaurants around here, and she's got a bunch of friends around here. So Definitely fitting in nicely, and just going to work on the French a little bit.
I got a great pub you can come visit one of these days.
Yeah. Are you working on the French?
Yeah, just, we're going to slowly learning. My girl's teaching me and the French girls. Throwing stuff out at me, but we're gonna try and get a teacher eventually and see if I can get it going.
Oh, that always makes the public here very happy. People mm-hmm. like to hear that.
Yeah. I definitely want to try. I'm definitely not good at it, and I wish I paid more attention while I was in school. But who knew I was going to be playing for Montreal Canadiens.
Seriously, but we're happy to have you as part of the team, Brandon, and hopefully you'll get to playing soon. In the meantime, it sounds awesome that you're going to stick around in Montreal. I guess with a girlfriend here in a city like Montreal's to explore, I can understand why you don't want to go to Europe.
Yeah. No, that would be a cool experience to go over to Europe, but I'm going to take this time off and just use it and make sure we, most of the players, I think, are going to stick around and, really... it's really about the players right now and the union, and we want to stick together.
Brandon, we wish you the best of luck, and we hope to see you back on the ice real soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night, and thanks for staying up late to talk to us.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate it. There he goes, Brandon Press from the Montreal Canadiens.
Laid-back guy. I like that.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. Yeah. He has always, watching him, he's always reminded me of both of our favorite Hab of all time.
Who's that?
Oh, I thought you had the favorite. I thought we had the same favorite Hab.
Who, Mike Keane?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he reminds me of Mike Keane.
I didn't know that he was your favorite as well. That's why I was a little confused.
Yeah, Mike Keane's been my favorite Hab since I was a kid.
Love Mike Keane.
He replaced Russ Cortinel, and nobody has replaced Mike Keane.
Nope, not since the mid-90s. We haven't seen another player like him.
That was a really interesting conversation with you can hear the anger in his voice.
Well, yeah, it's annoying, isn't it? I mean, he's locked out, for God's sake, yeah. And these guys, I mean, people could say what they will, but these guys want to hit the ice. These guys want to start playing. This is what they do. This is what they love to do.
Not only that, their careers are only so long.
Right. Yeah. And you want to be out working. When any kind of labor dispute, I mean, is frustrating for a lot of people, and it takes a toll. People say, oh, boo-hoo, poor players. But, a lot of these guys are not millionaires. I hate that saying where people say, well, it's millionaires arguing with billionaires. A lot of these guys are not millionaires. A lot of these guys are rookies. Yes, they're making hundreds of thousands or what have you. But a lot of these guys haven't even gotten paid yet.
Right.
So, they've got families. They've got lives, too. I mean, I don't want to sound like Mr. Blue Collar for the millionaire type guy, but the truth is
apparent. Well, Jay, when it comes down to siding with the millionaires or siding with the millionaires look like the blue collar jokes.
That's right.
So and what I find
it's
interesting
in context
as well is that the players have often, I've seen quotes about how the fans and the players, like the players are grouping themselves with the fans.
Yeah.
Wonderful PR move.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic PR move. Our thanks to Brandon Press of the Montreal Canadiens. Interview will be online at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com in about 10 minutes time.
Every time I move, somebody's in my spot. They say the good things come.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Dave. That's Jay. Hi, Jay.
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing much.
You know, it could be worse.
What could be worse?
We could be locked out.
Yes, we could. We could.
With
I know how to get in here, though.
Replacement coffee.
I know how to get in here. I've got people for that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how to jimmy the locks?
I know how to jimmy the locks.
All right. You know how to jimmy the jimmy?
I wouldn't even want to go anywhere near that.
Jimmy G on the board. We, I believe we are up and running online right now.
I hope so.
The live stream.
Yes, we are. It is working.
A bit of trouble off the top of the show.
It's working.
Another formal announcement here from the top. At 1 a.m., so in 40 minutes' time, TSN 690 will be down for maintenance. We will probably keep going on the online feed, which is now up and running. Everybody got it? Everybody got it. We don't need any replacement refs to figure it out. I think we're good. 514-790-1690. That's 1690 because we are TSN 690 now. 1-866-896-2546. What do you feel like talking about? We got baseball races. We had the World Baseball Classic playing. Canada's in, baby.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, mercy, mercy me.
There's a mercy rule.
Things ain't what they used to be.
What kind of Bush League lame-ass rule is that?
I saw you tweet about that today.
Lame.
There are a lot of lame rules involved in the World Baseball Classic, but I will continue to support it in the hope that Canada goes far. There are. There's pitch counts, Jay. There's 85-pitch pitch counts. It's like Little League World Series. At least the bases
are regulation. Really turns me off. I mean.
Why?
Well, because it frustrates me in my own league, in the West Island Senior League.
You guys
have
pitch counts?
No, we don't have pitch counts, but we have the mercy rule. We have the mercy rule, and we only play 7 innings to begin with, and that frustrates me. All the other rules are similar to Major League Baseball, except you can't run over the catcher.
How is it good for the game to have final scores like Canada 64, England 2?
It's the game.
I don't think that grows the game, though.
It's the game. These are not children. You know, these are grown men who did... what was that?
I don't know.
I'm trying to rant here, and their bell's going off. The hell was that?
It happened during the press interview, too.
Yeah. Listen, these are grown men playing baseball. If you can't handle a big loss, well, then screw it. You shouldn't be playing baseball. Well, since when do we need to coddle
baseball players? I don't think it's about coddling. I think it's about...
Not embarrassing them?
No. No, I think it comes
time limits.
Pitching.
Pitching?
Comes down to pitching.
Well, too bad. You don't have enough pitchers who can't handle it, then they shouldn't be playing baseball.
I think the problem is these guys all pitch full seasons, and they are, for lack of a better term, cattle, beholding to their major league clubs, and those clubs don't want to see some guy go and pitch in a game that doesn't affect them.
How many pitchers do they have on the roster?
I would imagine it's a normal roster.
Okay.
Sean Hill pitched for them on Friday.
Yeah.
Pitched a great game against the Germans and was called up by the Blue Jays today. Wasn't even around for the final game.
Give your relievers some work, you know. Put them in for a couple of innings. They can handle it. I mean,
I agree.
That's why there's relievers, to relieve the starters.
I don't think that the rule is as much in place for Canada, who had no business being in this tournament in the first place. The only reason that Canada was there was because it was awful. They lost to Italy in 2009. Probably my worst experience as a baseball fan of the games since the Expos left.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to one more. I left that game without talking to anybody. I was there with three friends, walked out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Just couldn't deal. We lost to the Italians. It would be the equivalent of losing to Germany today.
Right.
Killed me. So because of it, Canada had to requalify. They played in a mini play-in tournament with the Czechs, the Brits, and the Germans. Not exactly... three powerhouses.
Well, this also, you know, what you just said kind of proves my point a little bit. We lost to the Italians. Now, mercy rule, you've got it. The score was 11-1 today. At 11-1, there's always a possibility, especially in the game of baseball where there is no time limit, that a team could come back. 11-1 is it's a 10-point margin. It's a 10-run margin. But that 10-run margin can be, I mean, three hits. And you've got a whole new ball game.
Agreed.
And that's what I don't like about it. And you're talking about, you know, a tournament where Italy beat Canada. Canada beat the United States. And this is when they had their full rosters. So Why have a mercy rule when you never know when you might see a great comeback by a team that's an underdog?
Well, there was a great comeback last night, Jay. Israel versus Spain. Winner goes to the WBC. Israel had a 6-1 lead in the game. Ended up blowing it. They blew it. The Spaniards win. Torquemada was right.
Oh, Israel.
The Inquisition continues.
My. How did Greece do?
They haven't played yet. I don't know what their deal is.
Are they in it?
I don't know how that works. Well,
I thought that was a joke. I thought they.
Well, they were in the first one. Nick Markakis was on the Greek
right.
team.
That's right.
Now, Jimmy, just to prove a point, I don't know if you know this, but Team Israel, this song got played a lot because of Team Israel yesterday at the game. Game took place in Florida, and if you could put it to track 6, this song would have been way more appropriate. Thank you, my DJ. That's right, Jay. Because they weren't Israeli. They were all Americans. And if I had the Cuban national anthem handy, I'd play that for the Spanish team. It was Jewish USA versus Cuba yesterday. And it was fantastic. Very exciting game. Israel lost 7-6 in 10 innings, I believe. And
Jews can ball, man.
Sure.
People make fun of Jews for not being very athletic, but I'm telling you, especially growing up in Laval, a lot of my teams were made up of a lot of Jewish kids, and they can ball, man.
They all grew up watching Sandy Koufax play?
No. Hey, listen, I'm not that old, for God's sake.
Fine, they all grew up hearing stories about their parents watching Sandy Koufax.
That's probably more like it, yeah. Oy, he was a mensch. Boy, could he pitch.
Why are you doing radio on Yom Kippur? He wouldn't even pitch on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the Kaufman Show where, Jews in sports, huh? Brad Ausmus was the manager.
Was he?
Yeah.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is he?
I believe so, yeah. There were, there was one really big-time Jewish player on that team yesterday. Sean Green. Remember
He's
him?
Playing?
He's playing for Israel. He was a player coach.
Pete Rosing it.
He was up with, good call, without the betting, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
He was up with runners in scoring position in the 8th inning, I believe. And Ausmus pinch hit for him for a double-A guy. As Mr. Burns would say, it's called playing the percentages. It's what good managers do to win ball games.
According to our friend Max Harris at Max the Guru on Twitter.
Hi, Max.
There is no Greek team in the WBC.
Oh, awful.
Yeah. Awful. My heart is broken.
What's up with that?
You're asking me? I don't know.
Well, I'm asking you. I
barely have an economy right now, never mind a baseball team.
I don't think Peter Angelos was sending the Greek taxpayers the bill last time. Maybe he's just too busy right now because his baseball team might make the playoffs.
Yeah, nobody seems to be showing up either.
You know what? That was an afternoon makeup doubleheader today.
Yeah.
I'd be much
still
more,
though, they've been having problems. I mean, this is not the first time.
Be much more curious to know what the attendance was for the loss in the night game.
Right.
Which was, by the way, hark the herald angels sing. Ricky Romero got his first win in, I don't know, a Mayan calendar year tonight or something.
Poor Ricky. Poor anybody wearing a Blue Jays uniform this year.
Attendance at Oriole Park at Camden Yards for the nightcap tonight was 31,000.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's still only two-thirds full.
Should be filling up.
They should be filling up.
We were.
We were once upon a time. That
we were.
Very true.
In 94, we were.
Ian Hermelin, Gabe Kapler, Kevin Youkilis, Sean Green. Yes, there are several Jews in Major League Baseball. Ian Kinsler.
You didn't read the hashtag.
Heeb Major Leaguers. That's Heeb Major Leaguers.
For anybody who wants to know.
Anything to distract us from the ridiculousness that we saw this weekend in football, right?
Yeah.
Anything. I want to hear from you guys. 514-790-1690-1690. 1-866-896-2546. If you call us, turn your radios down. Unless you're Brandon Pruss, then do whatever the hell you want.
And we don't tell you what to do.
I tried to give you an opening there on this. So you like hockey? You miss hockey? No.
No.
Oh, well, let's talk to Brandon Frasen. So, yeah, I'm infuriated, not just because it keeps prolonging the start times of our shows, but because the credibility of the league is completely in question. I mean, and not that we haven't been questioning the credibility of the NFL on a multitude of subjects, but this one just seems to cap it. Dave Zirin wrote an article this week suggesting that the players strike until this is over.
Right. I mean, this has always been an option. I mean, are they going to? I don't know. I mean, again, these guys like their paychecks coming in. But the officiating has, I mean, it's clearly affected a lot of games. And if these guys want to win, I mean, when you think of it, it's kind of consistent when you think about
it's
it.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, it's consistently inconsistent. Say that 10 times fast. But, you know, I mean, it's not like they're going for a particular team, although there have been accusations that some referees might be partial to some teams, been caught wearing jerseys of teams on Facebook. Yeah. So.
Here, I've got one for you, Jay. I just got a tweet from Devish Patel, Mr. D2308. What a crazy ending to the NFL game. I did win my Survivor pool because of this, though. Who the hell wins a Survivor pool after 3 weeks? I think that's a pretty good example of what's going on right now.
And I also, I heard the boys, I heard Sean Gamble today talking about they had a Survivor pool in-house here.
Yeah,
and
I lost in week two.
Yeah, and Eric Thomas has already won it in week three.
There you go.
So, that one's over as well.
Now, I don't know if you can blame the referees or just the fact that none of us know how to pick a game properly.
Yeah, I blame you guys. You're dumb.
I
don't do
pools,
Jimmy? Because I like to be right.
Oh, well, yeah. Look at that. We all suck. The entire radio station does not know how to pick a game. We may be hygienic, according to that ad that Elliot reads, but we don't know how to pick a football game for our
lives.
What
was the pot?
Travis on Twitter, NFL replacement refs, still better than Tim Peel. I disagree. I think we only say that as Habs fans. Does the rest of the league bitch about Tim Peel, too, or no?
Montreal Canadiens fans have been bitching about referees for 30 years.
Since Red Story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty much. No, it was mostly, I think it was probably Carey Fraser that everybody bitched about, mostly in the 80s, especially when we played Boston for some reason. But you know what? I mean, you're going to bitch about the referees all the time.
It's easy to bitch about the referees, but when you have both sides in an NFL game bitching about the referees.
Well, you got lingerie bowl referees now. Now it's gotten to the, it's satire now at this point. It's slapstick.
How do they call penalties in the Lingerie Football League? I've got something in my head, but we'll have to save it for the Uncensored podcast. Let's go to the phones.
Wearing two pieces of clothing, so you can't really, kind of strip poker it or anything. So, who knows?
514-790-1690.
Wouldn't mind, though.
No, of course not. No. It might actually, you might air it.
Yeah. Jeez.
Imagine the Kauffman Show now airs after Lingerie Night Football.
Well, why not?
As far as radio sports, I don't think that's the one.
No. No, that's definitely not the one.
All right, should we take a call?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we got the chef in Montebello. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, boys, how are we doing?
Good, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well.
Good.
Do I have a minute or two?
You have up to 28 if it's really good.
Go crazy, man.
Brendan Prost.
Yeah.
Class act.
Damn straight.
And I think that must be, honestly, a prerequisite for the guys who do the job that he does. A man of the people, doing incredible charity work. I mean, how can you not love this guy? And he hasn't even laced up his skates yet for us.
He's the kind of guy we want. Jay and I said before, he reminds us of Mike Keane, and that wasn't just on the ice. You know, we got to know him a bit last year through that HBO show.
Yeah, he's a guy who's going to stick up for his teammates, and he's got, he's got good hands. You know, he's going to be skating around, and he's got skill, he's got speed, he can...
And how many other Habs?
They'll be hitting people.
How many other Habs that hang out in the plateau? And I'm not talking about St. Laurent north of Sherbrooke.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not many.
If there was a job that you guys would love to have tomorrow morning, the dream job, what would it be? I have mine, and it's pretty easy.
All right, you go first while I think of mine.
Okay. I would love to be the guy who's negotiating the contract for the NFL refs. What I witnessed this evening was like, hey, cha-ching. Thank you very much. Okay, guys, let's line up tomorrow morning. They'll sign anything we want them to basically sign.
Do you really think so, Andrew? Because what if tomorrow morning the ratings come out and Monday Night Football has its highest ratings of the year?
It will, and if actually Twitter and anything was counted into that, it would probably be the evening that they have been talked about the most. But there must be one guy who was just rolling over in his grave today, unfortunately, and it was a guy who I'd love to listen to, was Steve Sable.
Yeah, I thought the same thing tonight. And you know what I thought it when the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown that was a touchdown was called, and you could see the guy with the camera in the pile.
Exactly.
And if it wasn't for Steve Sable, there would not be a camera in that pile.
All the things that that gentleman did for the game of football are things, I mean, a lot of people don't even realize. I was just watching a couple
Chef,
of
are you playing Thriller in the background? I just heard a squeaky door open.
It was a cat.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. There's no Thriller going on.
Okay, that's too bad.
But really? Well, great. seriously, this week the guys had, I think it was on the morning show, and you had a contest, and you called in to try and win tickets for the football game that was going on this weekend on the bus tour, and they were actually asked guys to call in and see if they could do the voice of Steve Sable. And I sort of won, which was kind of cool. But the whole time I was doing it, I was saying, I can't, I started out by saying there was no way, shape, or form that I can do this voice any justice at all, because what this guy did, seriously, I mean, I don't get choked up about a lot of, well, I guess I do about a lot of things, but I mean, sports-wise, but what this guy did for football, I mean, you could actually sit there with your eyes closed. You didn't even have to see the screen at all, and you were there. You were in the yeah. stadium, and I don't think I've ever, from anybody who's done any of the sports-wise, as much as I've loved the guys who have done hockey over the years, who came even close to that.
What's blown me away on Twitter, Andrew, are all of the tributes coming from sports writers, especially football writers, that are a good generation younger than him, who talk about what a nice guy he was, how he acted as their mentor, things that you don't see in this day and age. You don't see it a lot. And the fact that he took time to, I mean, I guess in a sense, he was preserving his own legacy by doing that and making sure that people continued to practice the craft in the way that he thought was best. But wow, what a dude. I mean, just seemed like such a good guy and changed the way that sports is televised.
Completely. And I don't think there's anybody who will even ever come close to that. They were comparing to him as Spielberg. And I think it was a great comparison, because what he did for basically for football and for sports in general was what Spielberg did for movies.
Interesting.
Hey, dudes, thank you very much.
No problem, man. Everything's good?
Everything's great. You guys got to get up to Montebello sometime.
I'd love that.
And Jay, I know you seem to like your heavy metal and stuff like that. We've got this incredible festival here in Montebello. It's 8 or 9 years running. We had 74,000 people in a town of 1,300 people for 4 days this summer.
Wow.
It sounds loud.
It's called the Montebello Rock Fest. Seriously.
Montebello is a great rock festival name, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, we're going to Montebello. Yeah, it's great, yeah.
But no, seriously, if you chance, I mean, I unfortunately can't attend because the place is going nuts here. I basically have like 500 people parking and camping right across the street in my front yard. It's nuts. The town.
Get out there, suck those people dry. Start making hot dogs and stuff and lemonades.
There you go.
That's what you got to do, man.
That's what I
Small town, that's what you got to do.
Park on the lawn, $10 an axle.
Yeah.
Dudes, well, you're parking.
Set up a keg.
Seriously, you check it out, Montebello Rock Fest. And I mean, Jay, you're gonna be turned on to this big time.
When is this, Chef?
It's every summer. It's June, July, June. It's the Saint Jean weekend or the weekend afterwards.
All right. Well in advance of that, on a Tuesday that Jay and I both are free on, we're gonna head out to Montebello for dinner and come hang out with you.
Well, if we can do it, let's play a game of golf. If we can get it in quickly enough, and if not, don't worry about it at all. We'll work it out at the restaurant. And we'll have a great time.
Oh, we don't want to embarrass ourselves on the golf course in front of you. You think so highly of us. Why would I want to ruin that mystique?
Dude, there was nothing could ever change that.
Andrew, have a great night, buddy.
Have a great time, guys.
Thanks. Andrew in Montebello, one of our favorites here on The Kaufman Show. I think we should take a break.
Sure.
I think we should come back and talk a little baseball.
Yes.
Because I've had this...
Didn't we just talk baseball?
A little more.
You've got more. Yeah, something's on Kaufman's
yeah,
chest.
Yeah, well, yeah. Honestly,
something's on Kaufman's chest.
He
wants
like
to get it
this
off.
It's feeling in the pit of my stomach, to be honest
Uh-oh.
With you.
Uh-oh.
It's been there since the Nationals clinched.
Yeah, I've got a feeling in the pit of my stomach right now, but I think it's got more to do with the Calabrese salami that I ate earlier.
Oh, Mr. Ferrar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case, it's perfect.
I just wanted to share that with everybody.
Yeah,
Speechless.
I got nothing. It's the Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Rolling Stones going on 50 years making music now.
50 years.
50 years.
Jeez.
I know. Rumors of a Brooklyn concert before the year is up at the Barclays Center, the new NBA arena in Brooklyn, where I think they just had to cancel the Devils Islanders exhibition game. Another casualty of the lockout.
Oh, well.
Jay, I have a very important question for you.
Please.
How is it that I still hear that bloody vacuum with these headphones?
Is that what I'm hearing too? God, good. I thought it was my stomach, but no, it's the vacuum cleaner.
We've hit the witching hour at TSN 690 tonight.
And they do clean up the place.
They
got to do it at some point.
They keep it spick and span.
Yeah.
One more thought on this replacement ref ridiculousness before we talk a little bit of MLB and jump back, forth, and around. The fans have zero power. That's why they'll keep watching. And the NFL doesn't care. It's a real shame.
Sounds familiar.
They don't. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. There's a real ring of it. The networks are going to be the ones who end up forcing their hands. It's pretty simple. Those 1 o'clock games keep spilling into the 4 o'clock games. And I don't know if you saw Twitter yesterday around 4 o'clock, but people were losing their minds that they couldn't watch the games that they wanted to or were being forced to watch games that they didn't want to. Unfortunately, it's going to be TV that saves football. The networks are going to flip out.
And you know what? There's a parallel. There's a parallel in another major sport right now.
I don't know if the CBC has that kind of power.
No, but what I'm saying is that so long as the public, the people, the sheep, as we call them.
Yes, the unwashed.
Continue to bitch and complain, yet still watch the games. Don't abstain. Don't take any kind of stance against these leagues and against the bottom line, as they say. Well, then they're going to keep taking advantage of you. So smarten up. Smarten up. If you want things to change, the power is always in the hands of the people.
I feel like I've got this kind of air of a whiff of condescension about this whole thing. It's like, well, I'm a baseball fan and they have their thing all figured out. Look at the mess in the NFL. Look at the mess in the NHL. Just don't remind me about 94.
Baseball is probably the sport that's the most behind when it comes to this kind of stuff.
How so?
Overplay players, no revenue sharing.
Yes, revenue sharing.
Well, not like, I mean, there's no salary cap.
There's a soft cap where every dollar that you spend over that, you get charged a dollar.
Right, but don't worry. The New York Yankees will always be succeeding no matter what.
Yeah, they will.
I mean, because and a lot of people say, well, you know, in the 90s when they got Jeter and they had Andy Pettit and this is all homegrown talent, well, people have a tendency to forget that you get a guy like Paul O'Neill, you get a guy like Tim Raines.
Yep.
These are fillers, which cost money, which they pick up from other teams, which complete your roster made up of farmhands, as they say, from the farm system. So it takes the money isn't always with the stars, but sometimes with the guys on the bench, the utility guys who come in.
Sure, but just because you're spending that money doesn't guarantee you a World Series.
It doesn't, but it helps. It helps. And when you have a huge market like that.
But look at this year, Jay.
It's still an uneven playing field.
I mean, just because the Dodgers went out and spent $1 billion doesn't make them a playoff team.
No.
And then you look at the A's and you look at the Orioles. And I mean,
it's getting better. It's getting better, but they're still behind the other leagues.
I look at it, and again, I know I'm very biased. But Major League Baseball, to me, is stable. The one mistake that MLB has made, in my mind, in the last 8 years was having the Expos leave. But I understand it. And I threw out on Twitter last week, who do you like better, Bettman or Selig? And people still said Bettman.
I say Bettman.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, look what Bud Selig has done for baseball versus what Gary Bettman has done for hockey.
Look what Bud Selig's done for himself and a particular number of teams. You know, I mean, it's a tough one. And Bettman's the same way.
But I feel like everybody answered with the devil they knew.
Right.
Better the devil you know.
Right.
Which is a shame.
But there hasn't been a dramatic increase in baseball as much as there has been in hockey revenue over the last 10 years, or at least since the last lockout.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's in the numbers and percentages and all that crap. And
you know, they talk
the
about
point
how,
is they're not playing right now, and it sucks.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. But does it make me want to go back when they come back? I have season's tickets. What I would do to be able to go back 6 months and say, I'm not paying for my tickets this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wish.
And that's,
but yet, and
that's
like I
the
said,
problem.
And I said it last week, I think. My biggest issue is my gut is telling me get rid of these tickets. My brain is telling me get rid of these tickets. There's this little piece of me that says one day I'm going to have kids. And they're going to have kids. And I want to go to a hockey game in my seats that I've had since 04 with my grandkid.
Right.
Now maybe I'm thinking a little too far ahead. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690. We've got George in St. Sever. Hello, George.
St. Sever. Oh, my God. You got the wrong saint there, Dave.
Well, what can I say? St. Sever, St. Lazare, they look the same from here.
No. How's it going, Dave and Jay?
We're great. We're fantastic.
How's St. Sever doing?
Yeah.
How are things?
How are the Lower Laurentians treating
dead
you tonight?
Dead season right now, isn't it?
That's a little bit higher than what I am right now. St. Sever is a little bit higher.
George, I can't picture you any higher than you are already.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so frustrated because, first of all, okay, prior to the lockout, my buddy in Toronto calls me up, and he tells me, guess what? I bought a package of 10 tickets to the ACC, and I'm inviting you for the first game, October 13th, Habs versus the Maple Leafs.
Oh, you know what? That's too funny. I did the exact same thing to somebody that I don't like. I said, hey, I've got tickets for us for opening night of the hockey season. Come on down to Montreal.
And, it's not very likely that game is going to happen, so I'm discarding that invitation altogether. Then I'm watching television, and I see all these horrendous plays. I was watching Monday Night Football, and that ending was ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they have actually, if you go online, you'll see a picture, I think it's on TSN, where they actually show one referee showing incomplete, and then the other one...
calling it a touchdown.
Raising his hands for a touchdown. Ridiculous.
I think the UFC was happy because there was some beautiful Brazilian jiu-jitsu going on during that scuffle with the ball.
So I've decided, listen to this, guys, okay? I've decided that since there's a lockout and that all this labor strife is going on, that I'm opting out. I'm headed to Greece, Dave.
No.
Yes, I'm leaving October the 17th, and I'm not coming back until the middle of November. So hopefully by then, when I come back, they'll settle everything.
Wait,
and
you're leaving in the middle of October, and you will not be back until the middle of November?
And that's it. I'm going for a month.
That's crazy, George.
Well, I figured, listen, I might as well take advantage of the situation. At least I'm going to go there, and I'm going to hook up with some family members that I haven't seen for a very long time, and then I'm going to, you know, enjoy my time. So, Jimmy isn't the only one who would have gone to Greece in 2012.
I would imagine that a lot of people have been in Greece this year.
Absolutely. You know, the rates were, with the economy and everything, you know, usually a room that was going for, let's say, 300 euros in Santorini a night, I think you could get it for probably half that price.
I'm going next year.
How are you going to get your World Series fixed, George?
Well, you know what? There's always the internet, Dave. You know, believe it or not, internet does exist.
Yeah, I hear that's on computers now.
Exactly.
And I just actually, speaking of internet, George, thank you for reminding me. I got to make a quick announcement once again. Any of you listening on TSN 690 radio, in about 2.5 minutes, we're going to be shutting down for maintenance. The online feed will stay up. The Kaufman Show lives on.
We've been through it all.
George, anything else for us tonight before you book your flight?
No, that's it, Dave. But you know what?
What?
I won't have to worry about Draghi Tuesdays while I'm in Greece.
Well, no, because you can listen to the show, and
I'll
it'll be
able to
morning.
Listen to it around 8 a.m.
That's right.
So that'll be cool.
We'll be like the Greek morning show.
Hey, Dave, I promise that I'm going to call from Greece during my trip there. I'm going to call the radio station and talk to you guys directly from Greece. How's
Let's
that?
Now go to Jay Farrar with Athens traffic. It's a mess! Let's now go to Jay for Athens weather. It's hot! And how is the stock market today, Mr. Farrar? We're screwed!
It's a mess!
George, I'm sure we'll speak long before that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I want to be able to hear from you and
Dave,
you know, as these, as the Nationals make their climb through the playoffs, I'm going to be needing to lean on you, my friend.
We're going to hook up for a beer at McLean's before I go for Greece for sure. How's that?
Lovely.
All right, Dave.
Sounds wonderful.
Enjoy the ski trip.
You know what? I know somebody down there who could probably hook us up.
We'll see.
Thanks, George. Thanks
All
for calling
right,
tonight.
Enjoy the ski trip.
I just assumed he was a Gibby's.
George, live from St. Sever.
I love George.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I'm not surprised that he's going to Greece.
Well, no, I'm sure he's got some ties there, some family ties. I mean, even I do, and I'm only half Greek.
Have you? You've been, right?
I've never been.
Oh, no.
I'm ashamed to say that I've never been to Greece, but I am planning. Well, you know, it's my culture. It's my background. I should go visit the damn place. But I'm going to plan a trip next year and probably go down.
Cool.
We'll see.
See, now, is this like people telling me I have to go to Israel? Is it like that?
No.
My family's not Israeli, you know?
Yeah, no, it's not like there's no religious type. I mean, it's not like a trip to Mecca,
thing.
You know?
It's a cultural thing, right?
It's a cultural
trip
thing.
Trip to Mecca. That's it. You need to make your pilgrimage.
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, that's
Greece, a veritable Mecca for Greeks.
Well, some Greeks feel that way. I mean, they feel very strong about the culture and they want to visit the homeland. You know, why not?
I like our homeland.
Which one?
The one we got here.
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay here.
For me, this is the homeland.
Yeah, Montreal is my home.
I think this could be a good national anthem.
Out on the street today, the Canadian dream was as far away as it's ever been. As it's ever been. I went out on the street today, the Canadian dream was as far away as it's ever been. As it's ever been. S-O-C-I-A, L-I-S-M is here to stay. S-O-C-I-A, L-I-S-M is the only way.
This is the Kaufman Show, where we say stuff and yell a lot. Occasionally talk about Greece. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Jay Farrar. You can follow Jay on Twitter at JPubRadio. I'm at the Kaufman Show. Do follow us on Facebook as well, please. The Kaufman Show. We give away all sorts of cool stuff on that. Remember when we gave away that car, Jay?
What?
It was a big day.
Thought it was a stick. Didn't we give away a stick?
No. It was a car with a left-handed gear shift.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's confusing.
Only six in the world.
It's impressive that we would have that to give away.
What can I say? It's worth staying up late to listen to the Kaufman Show.
Well, I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. When I hold you in my arms, I'll tell you of your many charms and kiss you in the morning light if you say it's alright. or tired. I heard you've been used, that your longtime woman, she gave you the blues. But I wanna do right by you. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. Daddy don't like you because you're poor, but Mama says it don't matter anymore because, oh yeah, hell, we're big kids now. And when the sweet apple grows from the sour apple tree, that's when you're gonna wanna let go of me, unless I throw you out kicking and screaming before me. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar here with you. TSN 690 Montreal. Or if you're listening online, it's on iTunes or at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. We have some breaking news that I can barely say with a straight face. Jay, this is ridiculous stuff.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, Deadspin.com is always the harbinger of truth and justice in journalism. The Lingerie Football League announces that it fired, quote, a couple crews which apparently are now officiating in the NFL, unquote, because of incompetence. I'm going to read this to you. It's bear with me. It's about a minute, maybe six, maybe three, maybe 30 seconds. We'll see. After the Hall of Fame game in August, Mike Pereira let slip that Craig Ochoa, the referee who worked that game, had been fired from the Lingerie Football League. The Lingerie Football League, which recently uprooted itself from its U.S. host cities to barnstorm in Canada, the U.S., and Australia over the next year, didn't respond to Deadspin's request for comment. But now they have, and oh boy, this is great. Listen up, people. Because of the LFL's perception that it is much more critical for us to hire officiating crews that are competent, not only for the credibility of our game, but to keep our athletes safer. Due to several on-field incompetent officiating, I guess they didn't check their spelling before they sent out the press release. Due to several on-field incompetent officiating, we chose to part ways with a couple of crews, which apparently are now officiating in the NFL. We've had a lot of respect for our officials, but we felt that officiating was not in line with our expectations. We have not made public comments to date because we felt it was not our place to do so. However, in light of tonight's event, we felt that it was only fair that NFL fans knew the truth as to who are officiating these games. There you have it, and you had it on the Kaufman Show 3 weeks ago when Dave Zirin from Edge of Sports told us that Lingerie Football League refs are working the NFL right now. But now the LFL, and I can't believe I'm referring to it as the LFL, but hey, the LFL said, no, these guys aren't good enough for us, and then they go to the NFL? Can I yell for a second, or can I do something that just, what is going on?
This,
man,
this press release though, I don't know. It seems kind of
shiesty. You question the accuracy of
it?
Yeah,
I do. I question the source. I question the source because first of all, it's really badly written.
Yeah, I thought so. I didn't
second
think I was just
of all, yeah, the the spelling is terrible. Of course, this is the Lingerie Football League.
Well,
so
yeah,
I mean,
what
can
here,
I,
right?
It's probably a pimp that wrote it. But at the same time, I'd like to see more sources of this press release, and I'd like to see more media pick it up and actually do their homework on it, because it's kind of, I don't know, I question its credibility.
Jeez, Margaret, it's not in the Globe and Mail, Jay.
What? Dave Kaufman.
Yeah. Yeah, what? If the whole world can pile on Margaret Wente?
Went?
Why can't I?
Hmm. Okay.
Why is it that in this wonderful country of ours, there's different standards for plagiarists than there are in the United States? Why is it that a leading columnist in this country, or, there's a multitude of examples, but we'll go with the one that's popular right now. Why can you plagiarize and not get into trouble, or barely get into trouble? In the States, they tar you and feather you. She would be nailed to a cross right now. Instead, it was a bunch of people on Twitter going, "She's a witch, burn her!" But other than that, she'll continue writing.
She won't be fired for this?
No.
Why not?
No, she's already supposedly she has been disciplined. check out her column that's online now, defending herself. Why is it that when some people in the mainstream media refer to bloggers, it makes it sound like they're talking about cancer?
Probably because anybody can be a blogger.
Well, exactly.
I mean, you don't have to go to school to be a blogger.
I'm pretty sure anybody can be a journalist, Jay.
Oh, I think, I mean, you got to, you don't it's need got to a go little more prestige
school.
Than that.
You need to have integrity for the most part.
Right.
You
and there's not many spots
for the most part.
Yeah.
It's the spots.
It's the spots. It's the prestige of the position.
I'm a writer and I'm paid for my writing and I'm so scared of this blogger taking my job that I'm just going to put them down. And, oh, I was accused of plagiarism by a blogger? A blogger? What the hell's a blogger?
Mm-hmm.
It seems ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Well, they have a reason to be scared.
As somebody who straddles the fence, and I do, I'm not fully in this business yet. I'm not fully out of it.
Right.
It infuriates me. For some reason, and I don't understand it, if you can explain it to me, if any of you can explain it to me, why is there a double standard in Canadian journalism? Why can I go and steal somebody's column and be okay and still have my job in the morning?
You want her head on a spike?
No, I don't want her head on a spike. But I would rather that she owned up to it in this way that wasn't like embarrassing. Frankly, this is a dark day for journalism in this country. The Globe and Mail used to mean something. And the idea that a columnist can steal from another writer and have no repercussions, no major repercussions, that's...
What were the repercussions? I have no idea.
They haven't announced. The editor of the paper said that they were dealing with it internally.
Okay.
And that it has been dealt with.
Okay.
That's insane.
Well, you don't know what the repercussions are.
Well, we know she's writing. We know she didn't lose her job.
Well, maybe she... Did she apologize at any point, or she just basically defended herself? I don't know. I didn't read it because I don't read plagiarizing journalists.
Yeah. No, let me see if I can find it. I just think it's frustrating. You know what? It's the old school versus the new school. That to me is what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how the old school is okay with this. All right. If I may.
Please.
If I read this, am I plagiarizing her?
Only if you claim it to yours.
This is not mine. I'm far from perfect. I make mistakes, but I'm not a serial plagiarist. What I often am is a target for people who don't like what I write. There are three allegations against me. One is that I stole the idea and substance of a column from Dan Gardner, who writes for the Ottawa Citizen and other papers. The second is that the piece was a cut-and-paste job that lacked proper attribution and passed off others' ideas as my own. The third is that I'm a serial offender whose work is riddled with errors and worse. Let me take these in order. And then she goes through each of them. There was no intent to deceive. My column was rooted in work research and observations, and I never pretended otherwise. My aim was to be conversational and readable and to present the gist of work, not just to pass off other people's words and ideas as my own. Basically, what she says is that when reading Dan Gardner's piece, she must have taken a sentence, written it in her notes, and then by mistake copied it. I'm sorry, you're a professional. Jay, if I had done that in journalism school, I would have been kicked out of journalism school.
Well, you would have deserved it. But was it just one quote that was plagiarized? Was the entire article plagiarized?
That the article was plagiarized.
The entire thing. So
not word for word.
No, obviously not.
But idea for idea.
Okay.
Journalists know they're under the microscope. If you appropriate other people's work, you're going to get nailed. Even so, sometimes we slip up. That isn't an excuse. It's just the way it is.
Right.
As for errors in my other work, I've made my share and then some. I hope that most of them haven't been too serious. Yeah.
Because I could see, you know, having the same witty comment as somebody else, especially when it involves a particular subject.
Absolutely.
It never happens to me because I'm a genius. So nobody thinks of the things that I think of. But I've seen it happen on Twitter where a whole bunch of people say the same joke.
Yeah, sure. Nice save, Carrie.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really easy for a bunch of people to write nice save, Carrie.
Sometimes I've seen some pretty good ones, some pretty witty ones, and, you know, two guys think of it. Because yes. A lot of people on Twitter think alike and are equally as annoying. But that's another that's a whole other show.
And we will do that show.
Yeah.
The final paragraph. I haven't always lived up to my own standards. I'm sorry for my journalistic lapses, and I think that when I deserve the heat, I should take it and accept the consequences. But I'm also sorry we live in an age where attacks on people's character and reputation seem to have become the norm. Most of all, I regret the trouble I've created for my Globe colleagues by giving any opening to all of my critics, to all my many critics. In an ideal world, there wouldn't be any openings. In the real world, there are. I would like to think that that's not true. Criticize, sure. You wrote a crappy column. You wrote a column I disagree with. Fine. Don't steal somebody else's work and then try and, I'm sorry we live in an age where attacks on people's character and reputation. Give me a break. You know, I'm more than happy to take my licks like the rest of them. I know you are too, Jay. If you screw up.
I do.
And if you screw up, you're held accountable.
Yeah, yeah. I have no choice.
First thing I was taught, first day on the job in radio, integrity is everything. Takes 30 years to build up, takes 30 seconds to tear down. I've tried to live my professional and my personal life by those words. So when I see somebody who's established in this industry try and make excuses and play it off, it just makes me think it's time for new blood.
Bloggers.
A term that I say with nothing but love and reverence.
I'm going to start a blog.
Do it.
It'd be awful, though.
Why?
Huh?
Why would it be awful?
No, it wouldn't be awful. It would be interesting.
Just don't steal other people's stuff. It'll be fine.
No, yeah. No, I have my own way of thinking. It's pretty hard for me to steal other people's stuff. I like quoting people. I like quoting some of my favorite comedians.
There's nothing wrong
with
that.
But I'll always give credit for it, obviously.
There's nothing wrong with that. I have no problems with that. I don't think anybody...
I ain't no Dane Cook. Stealing all Louis C.K. stuff.
Dennis Leary and Bill Hicks.
Yeah. But everything good comes from something else that's good, although I never liked Dennis Leary. I like Bill Hicks, though.
Well, yeah, I liked Dennis Leary before I knew who Bill Hicks was.
Right.
And it sucks that I'm an age where I knew who Dennis Leary was before I knew who Bill Hicks was.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's for you, Marge. This is the Kaufman Show, where we don't steal nothing from nobody.
If you think that a kiss is on the lips, come on, you got it all wrong, man. And if you think that a dance was on the hips, oh well, then do the twist. If you think all the dance is on in the fingers, grab hold of the soul where the memory lingers, then make sure to never do it with a singer, cause I'll tell everyone in the world what he was thinking about the girl.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you like we are every week. Getting pretty excited, Mr. Farrar. Got this Jack White show coming up next week. And you're looking at me with an inquisitive stare.
No. No, I just saw something on Twitter.
Yeah, what?
Mitch Melnick at Hunter Z. Thompson is now trending in Montreal.
Oh, you're shit. Whoa, really?
Hey, wow. The Kaufman Show is about to trend,
the
too.
The Kaufman Show is about to swear on the radio. Oh, was that Uncensored Podcast?
I wonder what Mitch said to get everybody all excited.
For real?
Yeah.
For real? Oh, I don't see it trending on my page.
No, according to Trends Map, which
yes.
Yeah, I follow.
Okay.
Which I followed because my brother on a couple of occasions had the honor of trying to get in Montreal, and I wanted to see what was going on.
I just unfollowed the Trends Map Canada, actually.
Okay.
Which I followed the day that Canada lost, was disqualified in the 4x100 in London. I trended for a while in both Canada and Toronto.
Yeah.
And it was very confusing, I have to say. Very, very confusing.
Yeah.
And then you see things that make it all seem irrelevant, like Honey Boo Boo is now trending on Twitter.
Don't even get me started.
Well, luckily I don't get that channel, so I'm unaware of that.
It's personal. The Learning Channel. This crap is on a station called The Learning Channel.
Yeah, but
what
I
are
mean,
we learning?
Oh, you know what? Remember when A&E used to have real stuff on their show, on their channel too, and now they have like swap meet, whatever.
We're learning that we should still be beating our kids. That's what we're learning. I don't care. It's antiquated, but I said it.
Well, that's all right.
I tweeted that today.
I thought you Facebooked it.
I tweeted it too.
Oh, nice.
It got a hell of a reaction.
Multi-platforming, huh?
Honey Boo Boo. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Have you ever actually seen a second of that?
No, because I was trying to watch something on the Learning Channel that I was enjoying, and the damn commercial kept coming up of this stupid, ugly kid and talking like a pimp.
With the pimp line again, eh?
What is the point to all this?
Is
she cute? Is this supposed to be? I mean, what kind of reflection of this?
America?
Yeah, I mean, what it is, you know what I was thinking about today?
I mean, I'm sure there's that crap in Canada, too.
Yeah, no,
it's
there
really
is.
Easy for a Canadian to sit on a soapbox and go, well, that's America.
We've got our kind of TMZ, our Access Hollywood type deal, too. And
It's hosted by the former prime minister's son.
Yeah, yeah, that gives it a lot of credibility. Jesus. What it is.
This is turning into Twitter.
Yeah, I should. I know we're supposed to be talking sports, but when I think about it, this kind of stuff, this Octomom.
Jay, we're going to bring it back to sports. Watch. It's
okay.
Be awesome.
This Octomom and this Honey Boo Boo and all these idiots. This is the modern day type jester in the court.
Okay.
And this is why they only get their 15 minutes. When the king gets bored of the jester,
he sticks his thumb down, and then they're sent out to the lions.
Yes, yeah, and he and
assuming they're Christians,
and we don't see him. He's got to go. We don't see him no more. But in this case, these people that society is clearly laughing at actually take themselves seriously. They think they're actually real celebrities, and that they're like Kim Kardashian actually thinks that she serves a purpose besides stealing everybody else's oxygen.
Oh, for sure she does. She serves a huge purpose.
I gotta calm down.
That's okay. I think this is the tone that has been set all night. We can't always the Kaufman Show can't always be sunshine and lollipops, Mr. Farrar.
We're pissed off.
Yeah, we are. And you
Kaufman
know
even swore earlier.
Briefly, barely.
Briefly, almost.
Almost. That's
there was
right.
No tea at the end of it.
It was the wire.
Yeah.
She. As in, she's got a lot of nerve,
yes,
doesn't she?
That's right.
You know what? This reality crap's been going on for a while.
It's not reality, though. Anyway.
Well, fair enough. The Emmys last night, speaking of reality.
Ugh.
Didn't Sarah Palin's show win Best Reality?
No, it did it?
I don't think know. So.
No.
Was it Amazing Race or whatever?
No, like the mini series based on Sarah Palin on HBO.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay,
yeah.
When I saw
Julianne
somebody
Moore.
Tweet that Sarah Palin had won. That was a great movie.
I didn't see it.
Game Change, I think it was.
I didn't see it.
Fantastic movie. Fantastic, fantastic movie.
Well, my favorite was Sherlock. Scandal in Belgravia. That's brilliant. Brilliant writing, brilliant acting. But of course,
Sherlock, the Scandal in Belgravia?
Yeah, Sherlock. It's a TV show, or they actually make kind of movies. They've made about five or six of them now.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on BBC.
Okay.
And what they do is it's modern day Sherlock Holmes.
Mm.
They take the classic books and they portray them in modern times.
Oh, okay.
And it's just brilliant writing, but it's different. It keeps the essential plot line of the book.
Sure.
But kind of incorporates it in today.
Sherlock Holmes meets CSI.
Yeah, but I mean,
but without the who?
Without the crappy writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that nominated?
What?
Was it nominated for an Emmy?
What?
Sherlock.
Yes, it was nominated for several, but it didn't win any.
Okay, okay.
It's like, we'll give you a nod because we know you're actually the winner, but because Sarah Palin is way more popular and also a joke, if I may add.
Well, yeah, but it was also an HBO movie, and Julianne Moore is a hell of an actress.
Yes, she is.
And who played McCain? It was...
Ed Harris.
Thank you.
Who is also a genius actor.
Yeah, there you go. So we can't knock that too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. That's a lot better than what I was thinking. But I almost went 24 full hours thinking that Sarah Palin's reality show had won an Emmy. I mean, talk about the apocalypse.
Yeah, you talk about millionaires versus billionaires. How about a bunch of millionaires handing each other trophies? Woo! Let's watch that. What is she wearing?
You know what, Jay? It's
what
kind
a colossal waste of time.
It's similar to Twitter. It's a bunch of people in the same room agreeing or disagreeing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. I watched it for about 10 seconds, then I got ill.
We're back to the Emmys or Twitter?
Yeah, sorry.
No. We're all over the place. And the answer could have been for both.
Yes. I gave you a simultaneous answer.
Twitter today was, I would like to know what our audience, if the majority of our audience is on Twitter or not. Or if every time we mention the words Twitter, a bunch of people gloss over. I think that being in journalism and being in sports journalism especially, we get the feeling sometimes that everybody is on Twitter. When sometimes the truth is probably more like we're all just yelling into a room and nobody can hear us.
Well, I don't think that. I mean, watch The View. Watch The View once
you
in a while.
Watch The View.
Watch a bunch of annoying women all yelling at the same time. You know, it's not listening to each other and just waiting for their turn to talk, basically. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, Twitter can become like that at some point. It can become a hen house, you know. But at the same time, there's people like you and like me who take the best of it. Read the articles. I mean, I think it's very, very important, social media.
But I piled on to Margaret Went today. I jumped on that train.
Yeah, I don't like doing that. I don't.
There's a high and mightiness to Twitter that
sure
will be its downfall.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that will be its downfall. It's that I want to say something and then get RT'd because people will like it. And it's funny how if you don't put the RT in front of it, you're plagiarizing. He's coming back
to that.
That
is true.
I liked how you called it a hen house before.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, there was trouble at the hen house tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it was just Twitter was a mess, but I get to use that because it's a Tragically Hip album.
Oh, I see.
And I got to listen to the new Hip album today.
Very good.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's,
yeah. Well, you look disappointed.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm very well aware of my first experiences with every Hip album I've ever bought. Never do I love it right off the bat. It always takes several listens for me to get into it. What I thought was interesting.
It's like a fine whiskey. It's an acquired taste.
It is. It's totally an acquired taste. I need to spend 2 hours in the car with it and drive up and down the highway and see what sticks out at me. And have I told you this before on air? I can remember where I was for every Hip album I've ever bought.
Yes. Sadly, you did tell me that.
Well, today was a weird one.
Okay.
Because I heard it in my living room for the first time. I didn't have to go anywhere to buy it.
You downloaded it.
It's streaming on SoundCloud right now for free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Feel free to check it out. I sent out a tweet with the link.
Good for them
earlier.
For doing that.
Yeah. Well, they're smart. They're smart. I think bands realize nowadays that your money is made off touring.
Yeah, no kidding.
And hey, if there's no hockey this winter, I expect the Tragically Hip to fill the void. I really do. Expect a big tour. So I remember where I was for every album I've bought and couldn't help but think of July 98, summer I graduated from high school, going down to Sam the Record Man on St. Catherine Street at midnight when Phantom Power came out. Good times, man. Rest in peace, Sam the Record Man. One of the... great bringers of music to all of us. Check out Dave Bedini's article in the National Post today. Fantastic article about, I believe it's Sam Snyderman.
Snyderman, yes.
Yeah, Sam Snyderman.
He was 92.
Sam the Recordman.
Sam the Reckerman.
Yeah, Reckerman.
The Reckerman.
It's a Jewish last name. Sam the Reckerman.
The Reckerman.
Hey, we can go all over the place too, right? Haven't even talked about the wild card races. What's going on here?
Wild card races. What about, I don't want to change the subject.
No, go. Go, do it.
What's all this about these Edmonton Oiler?
Oh, my God.
Edmonton Oiler higher-ups visiting Seattle.
Let's talk about karma.
Okay.
We're going to have this conversation, but we're going to have it.
You believe in karma?
I do. Do you?
No.
You don't?
No.
Really?
No.
Then what makes you want to do good in this world?
Oh, let's not even start with that.
Well,
who says I want to do any good in this world? Who says I do any good in this world?
I'll just keep doing do good 3 hours on a Monday, and I'll be on your side for life, okay?
Yeah.
Karma, Jay. What kind of karma is involved when you see what the SonicSkate people are doing trying to bring back this team? And with one hand, there's that documentary that talks about the sadness that the city felt when Mr. Bennett and the rest of the gang from Oklahoma City stole them, stole their Sonics and moved them to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Seattle know that they're just a pawn in this game between the NHL and small market cities right now? And when you talk about karma, maybe it would be better for them to wait for an expansion and see through the facade of Mr. Bettman and of Mr. Katz. I think it would be just a great tragedy if the Edmonton Oilers went to Seattle. But I'm also fully aware that it's not going to happen. This is all posturing.
No, of course.
This is all posturing.
Are you kidding? Do you want them to burn that city down? Because that's what they'll do. Those people love their hockey club, and they deserve to like the hockey club. They deserve a team, that city.
Can you imagine Edmonton?
City of Champions. Yeah, come on.
Wow.
What's going to be left?
Wow.
A big mall. That's all.
When Seattle,
nothing else.
When Seattle realizes that Gretzky's not on the Oilers, do you think they're still down?
They'll get a team. I mean, but yes, and you're right. They should wait for expansion.
And there'll be a huge success when they do get a team.
Of course.
It'll be a massive success.
Yeah. They're a good hockey town.
I'll tell you, I've read
some articles.
Only one team I think is going to be against them getting a team. And that'll be the Canucks.
Even then, I mean, their fan base is firmly established. And how many people in Seattle are Vancouver Canucks fan?
I don't know, but it's only a 2-hour drive to go see hockey, right?
Yeah, but different country. You know, it's not like a Baltimore, Washington type thing where you have two cities that are very close together, and most people in that area in Virginia are already Orioles fans, which is, you know, why they were against the Nationals coming down.
Can we do this now?
What do you want to do?
The pit in my stomach that I was referring to
before. Oh, yes. Okay, go ahead.
You just brought it up.
All right.
I have had this feeling in my gut for a week now, and I have not been able to put my finger on it.
It's not Calabrese salami?
I don't think it's Calabrese salami.
Because that's what it is for me.
Okay. Well,
it's a little different for me.
I'm okay.
Not good.
Go ahead.
All right. I could not do that voice for 2 hours if I tried.
I don't try. It just happens.
I'm trying not to care. And anybody who's listened to the show since the spring knows that I've been mentally preparing. I've been lying by saying I'm mentally preparing you all, but really it's just for me. Nationals looking good, man. And when I saw them clinch the other night and started getting congratulatory tweets on Twitter.
What?
Oh, I lost my mind, Jay. I lost my mind. Yes, it's the same franchise. But for the last 7 years, nobody cared. And when somebody broke a record for the Washington Nationals, every Montrealer wasn't reminded that this was the franchise this or the franchise that. The Expos are gone. And the Nationals live on. Long live the Nationals. May they succeed and do okay for the next 1,000 years. But that has nothing to do with me. And the more that people bring it up, the more it brings everything back. And the more it brings everything back, the harder it is to watch. I love baseball right now. I have been addicted to MLB TV for the last 2 weeks. Have not done anything else. Been just watching these races unfold. crossing my fingers the Tampa Bay gets back into it. I want to see this 9-way tie for the wild card and a bunch of play-in games. It's so good for the game. And I don't want to be sitting there rooting against the Nationals the whole time. None of those guys ever did anything to me. They seem like they play the game right. Davey Johnson's a good manager. The fans are happy. The fans deserve it. Washington hasn't made the playoffs since 1933. But they're not the Expos. And the more that people bring it up, and it's going to, I'm telling you, I've gotten emails from journalists asking, who can I speak to in Montreal that's a hardcore Nationals fan? And I write back, nobody I know. Nobody I know. They might be in Ottawa. They might be in Trois-Rivières, which is getting a Can-Am League team next year. They might be in Burlington or in Plattsburgh. But I don't know one person in my city that is openly rooting for the Nationals to win the World Series because they were the Expos. Maybe because they're the best team in baseball, and that's fine. But the idea that the Nationals are going to win and someone's going to feel any kind of joy or relief, give me a break. Give me a break. There's, I'm not going to lie, this is torture. It's very hard to watch this team succeed. And you know what, Jay, now that I'm talking about it, that's it. That's the feeling in the pit of my stomach. I know it's it. And it's going to make for a very weird October. But if they don't win this year, then it's going to be the same feeling next year. And if they don't win next year, then it's going to be the same feeling. So what am I rooting for? Get it out of the way so we can stop talking about it, so we can stop bringing it up? Or do I want the Nationals to become the Cubs and not win for 100 years? It just, I am such a mess over this, Jay. You were smiling. You're laughing at me.
No, I'm not laughing at you at all. I came to a revelation this week.
Ooh. Do tell.
I want the Nationals to win the World Series.
Okay.
I'm making that announcement right now.
Wait,
I know
you. One more time.
I want the Nationals to win the World Series.
Got it.
And I'm going to tell you exactly why.
Okay.
You've heard in the past that I've been against the Nationals. I say, screw them. I don't want them to win. And I get that from most hardcore Expos fans. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people say, oh, get over it. You know, well, if I get over it, how will we ever get a team back if I get over it? Mm-hmm. If I forgive and forget and move on and watch baseball and enjoy it. No, I'll never forget it. And I can't move on because if I do, that means I've given up. And I'm not going to give up on this team because I want my own team. I want baseball in Montreal. I'm losing my voice.
Excuse me. That's okay.
Thank you. All right, I'm back.
Mic off first.
No, it's okay. They could tell I'm losing my voice, Coffin. I'm not going to lie to the listeners.
Jay Farrar is tearing up.
I'm not tearing up.
Jay Farrar is, a single tear running down
his
cheek.
No, there isn't. There's no tear.
Beautiful.
No, will you stop it?
Okay.
I want them to win the World Series. Why? Because it'll make headlines. It'll make headlines in this city.
Yep.
You'll see it. You'll see it in La Presse. You'll see it in the Montreal Gazette. Probably not in the Journal de Montréal because there's a hooker dead somewhere. But anyway.
Oh, my God, Jay.
You will see it in the headlines. It will say, former Expos, ex-Expos, win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of witty headline that some guy made up. And that's good. Do you know why that's good? Because it'll wake people up. It'll get people frustrated. They're going to say, wow, the former Expos, what used to be our team, just won the World Series, and we never got a shot at it.
I feel sick to my stomach.
Listen to me.
I'm listening, but
stop
I feel
it.
Sick to my stomach.
Stop. I know. I understand that. But once
I can do both. I can listen and feel sick at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I think Dave just barfed a little in his mouth.
A little.
But if that happens, it's a good thing. And you have to think of it in that way, that it will make headlines. It'll get people interested and say, you know what? I remember we had a team. We were so close on numerous occasions of going to the World Series. We had 94. We had 81. We had wild card shots in 2003 and 1997. What happened? We need a team. Why should they get a World Series? And we don't get one. Let's get a team. Let's get a team. I want baseball back.
Agreed.
This is not fair that this team that used to be our team from our town, that exact same franchise, is now winning a World Series.
But do we want to keep reminding that it's the same franchise?
Yes.
Is that what brings the team back?
Yes.
You think so?
Jealousy and rage and envy. But that's what it is. That's what it is. Who the hell are they to take our team and now win a World Series with it for when for 36 years we were unable to attain that goal?
Yeah, but...
Win it. Go Nationals. Win the damn thing. I don't give a...
Yeah.
I almost coughed there for a second. Yep. I don't give a damn about your team or your city or your players, but I give a damn about my city and what they may think. And if it...
I'll tell you what, Jay, I don't want the first World Series in franchise history to be in Washington. I want to sever this franchise stuff. Let the Nationals have the Homestead Grays with Josh Gibson and the Washington Senators, first in peace, first in diplomacy, last in the American League. Let them have that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Montreal's tradition should stay in Montreal.
Right.
I don't like the... Somebody suggested that Gary Carter's number should be retired by the Nationals. No. No. Gary Carter never set foot as a player in Washington, D.C.
Right.
To me, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, keep it to the city. Keep it to the culture of the city. I like that the, you know, like, MLB doesn't really try... They don't really... At first, we would complain about, well, they don't recognize the history of the Expos on the Washington Nationals page, their webpage.
People complained about that?
Yes, people were like, well, you can't access...
off the bat, I was upset that it was, I don't know if it was Chad Cordero breaks Expo's single season save record,
right,
or somebody breaks Vladdy Guerrero home run record, but there were a few of those at the start, and even then it jarred me.
Yeah.
It jarred me, and I don't like to see it. And if
right.
the Expos ever came back, I would like to think that
they would incorporate the history of the former Expos.
I sure as hell hope so.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I think franchises should move by cities and not by franchises. That's how they should be judged.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the Browns got all their stuff back, and we would hope that the
yes.
Sonics will too.
Yes.
Day. And that after Edmonton leaves and goes to Seattle, whoever goes back to Edmonton gets the Oilers' history.
Go Nationals. There's going to be two reactions to this kind of thing. It's either going to be, oh, woe is me, that could have been us, and feel sorry for yourself. Or there's going to be the other ones, the baseball fans, who are going to look at it and say, damn it, that could have been ours. But wait a minute, why can't it be ours?
I admire your optimism, my friend.
It's not optimism.
Your...
It's anger and jealousy and envy. Everything that's wrong in the world.
Angrisy.
Yeah. It's a good way to channel it.
Jellerum. Angrisy. Still have that
feeling.
You
having a seizure?
I still have that feeling in my stomach, Jim.
Okay.
I look forward to November 1st when it goes away.
I hope they win the World Series.
I know you do. Just so you can see my face. This is the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Rock and roll. You have to be Romeo. It's hope of course a miracle. It just looks a little too old. That sound means those Detroit Cobras, they always take us out.
It means that somebody doesn't know how to use a doorbell. That's what it means.
That too. You can just break in, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. We've got a few minutes left on the show tonight, and one of our favorites. We got Mike in St. Leonard. Hello, sir.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. How are my 47% brethren tonight?
Oh, you know. that's a good one. Did you see Mitt Romney's latest today?
No. What how's he trying to throw the election again?
He was talking about his wife was there was a Ann Romney was flying to some campaign event, and the there was smoke in the cabin, so they had to make an emergency landing. Everybody was fine.
Okay.
But Romney was talking about it afterwards, and the man who could be president wondered to a journalist why you can't roll down windows on an airplane.
Oh, he's a true Republican.
The reason is that his hair is made out of solid concrete, so he's not worried about the ramifications
he's
of
got the
air
Jimmy
pressure.
Johnson.
Right.
Well, they got it wrong this time. I mean, that's usually the vice president type stuff.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Palin or...
Quayle.
Quayle, exactly. You know.
Mike, before we get down to business here, I would love for you to promote your new Twitter account.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Dave, thanks for your support so far. What I've just tried to do is try and focus people away from the lockout a little bit and, you know, tweet some of their favorite albums of all time so we can spend more time listening to some that will actually feed our minds and our brains and our hearts. It's at Music Replaces Hockey, at Music Over Hockey, I'm sorry, at Music Over Hockey.
Music Over Hockey.
Yeah, and, you know, the idea came from, like, I tweeted it to you immediately, it just came to me quickly, and I was just, you know, I couldn't take any more of that 1972 Summit Series recap. And, you know,
what are you, a commie?
I mean, and, yeah, and every day I'm listening to, you know, the breakdown. I mean, we're all getting into this legalese term of what's going on between the owners and the players, and I thought, you know what, this is a great time, and it's been a long time since I sat down and actually just listened to an album the way I used to when I was a teenager. And really appreciated music for what it was, instead of just having listening to it always on the go. And I thought it would be an idea just to throw it out there, to have some people, anybody actually out there, just put out their, you know, some of their favorite albums of all time so we can share and learn from each other. You know, I mentioned, I think last week it was you guys who had mentioned Exile from Main Street from the Stones. I hadn't listened to that album in years. Went back and listened to it, and I was like, wow.
Oh, awesome.
Great. You know? And so that's where the idea actually came from. So I got to thank you guys, and I got to thank you. And actually, Anakin Slade today actually tweeted that he's going to start with his top 25, and
super.
He'll be putting his on every day. Jay, I haven't had a chance to tweet you yet, but I will do that tomorrow.
I just started following it.
Perfect. And so,
and now we are three.
That's it, you know?
I'll do.
It starts.
I'll do my top 25 as well.
That's nice. It, you know, it's just to get us away from all this sports talk. But I must say that NFL game tonight was a classic.
Oh yeah, an absolute classic,
mean,
isn't it? It'll go down in history. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
That is just, I mean, that's a beaut, because I read after, I think they're only 4 million apart. But, you know, when you're part of the 47% like the refs are, you have to just take it, you know, where the sun doesn't shine. And, you know, of course, Mitt Romney, why didn't he run for commissioner of the NFL? That'd be better for him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's more his style, you know, just like go there, load it up with some debt, sell it off.
Because football involves physics. So, you know, he's not very qualified.
Well, from the planet Golob where he's from, I think he could figure it out.
From where?
Planet where?
Golob. I think that's where the Mormons think that the book originated from.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
Okay, so we've got Planet Golob running against Kenya.
Yeah, that's right.
The president.
Who will win? Who will win?
I think we know who will win.
That's it. Guys, about the Expos and Nationals.
Yeah.
Last week, I watched it with a little bit of a smirk on my face, and I'm torn too. I'm like, it doesn't bother me, and yet it does.
Right. We can all postulate and puff out our chests and pretend like we're bigger than this. But I'm telling you, when they win the World Series, it's gonna feel weird.
We can't have any of that World Series talk, man. I do not want to see them even touch
Look,
that.
They game. Aren't the Cubs. It's going to happen sooner or later.
Go Nats.
Yeah, Jay, stop.
I want them to win.
One and done. They could have a little taste of it, you know, like everyone has a little taste, and they can go away like everyone else does. You know, there's plenty of other teams there that haven't seen playoffs for a while, like the Orioles as well, too, which I'd love to see.
Oh, man. And you know what? A Beltway World Series would be fantastic. A Bay Area World Series would be wonderful, too.
I would love to see the A's do some damage.
Oh, so would I. If the Nationals do make it to the World Series and don't play the Orioles, I hope it's the Yankees.
really?
Yeah, I want to see the damn Yankees Broadway recreation of the World Series.
Wow, I can't.
You know the play, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I just can't take the Yankees anymore. I can't take them.
I can see in a year like this where everything flips, I can cheer for Russell Martin. I would love the idea of Russell Martin hitting a game-winning homer in Game 7 of the World Series to prevent the Nationals from winning the World Series.
Yeah.
That would be some pretty cool justice.
Yeah, except for that jerk third baseman of theirs. Just, I can't take, you know. I mean, I don't want to see him do anything ever, but that's just a personal.
Well, what if he's not playing? What if he gets hurt like he always does and he's sitting in the stands getting fed popcorn
like Cameron Diaz? Dave, I'm so sick of the Yankees.
I still want to slap him.
You too.
If he's getting fed popcorn, I want to slap him.
See, maybe I'm not sick of the Yankees because I've hated them for so long that when Russ signed, I felt different about them this year.
Maybe.
And maybe because they're not overpowering the rest of baseball.
That's true. Only with them with their money they are. I guess that goes back to the revenue sharing.
Yeah, but so do the Red Sox and so do the Dodgers and I don't know. That's just baseball.
Yeah.
Look, there are teams that I cheer for. The teams I cheer for are small market teams. And frankly, you don't need to put me up on a shrink's couch to figure out why. They remind me of the Expos.
That's true.
There's no deep meaning behind it. It's I'm a pretty simple dude.
That is true.
Everything else is all right, Mike?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Everything's great. You know
what? At the end of the day, we're only missing exhibition hockey right now.
Yeah.
These replacement refs are making for a very entertaining first month of the football season.
And you know what? You touched on something earlier in the show when another caller called in and said, oh, this is going to be it. You know, they'll be able to get whatever they want. And you're like, not so fast. Nope. And I'm with you on that.
No, it's going to be the networks. When the networks start complaining that they're losing revenue because the 1 o'clocks are spilling into the 4 o'clocks, that's when it happens.
I mean, that kind of stubbornness on Goodell's part, I mean, if that's how he wants to be remembered, good for him. But I just don't think it's really even necessary. And for me, the most satisfying thing of the whole thing is anybody who's ever been underappreciated at their job until the boss realized how valuable they were when they weren't there. There's a kind of a testimony to that, and I think it goes to everyone.
Oh, yeah. The NFL referees are loving every second of this.
And
this is great for them.
They absolutely should, because everyone just kind of forgets them.
They deserve it.
It's a very interesting point.
Yeah. And now everyone's like, you got to get these guys back. And now they should walk out there with pride and say, you know what, we do a good job, and we should be really, you know, paid for it. We're an asset to the game.
Will we hear one complaint about NFL refereeing this season once they come back?
Never. We're going to be like, we're just happy they're back, because the stuff is the blown calls are just ridiculous.
It's going to take Jeff Triplett throwing a penalty flag and landing in a player's eye again for us to complain about refs.
You know what, when you may move Goodell is some heavyweights from Vegas show up outside of his house who have lost some money. Maybe that'll help him to decide to get the refs back, you know.
I don't think so, but I you have to wonder how this is affecting. I mean, we talked before about how we're aware of two separate survivor pools that have both already finished.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess, well, anybody who had Green Bay today, right?
It's
they're going to feel pretty screwed right now.
For me,
although, what was the score going into that? It was a 2-point game, right? So Green Bay wasn't covering anyway.
Okay.
Well, it has a lot to do with,
right?
Yeah. I think they were favored by 4.5.
Four and a half.
A 5-point lead on the last play.
These survivor,
geez, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then they, trouble. Okay.
These survivor pools. Yeah, when you have the Raiders and the Cardinals winning, you know, and huge upsets.
Can we have a conversation about these Arizona Cardinals real fast? Arizona Cardinals are, I believe, 11-2 in their last 13.
Right.
This isn't a team that should be taken lightly.
No.
Everybody, this was not an upset yesterday. Philadelphia.
Well, most people consider it.
They did, because
that's why the survivor pools went bad, because everybody thought it was going to go the other way.
Well, people should be paying a little bit closer attention. This Arizona
Raiders.
Team, well, yeah, the Raiders, and that was a very interesting game in itself.
Yeah.
But with Arizona, that's a good football team.
Yeah.
And has been for a while now, and because of where they play, and we were guilty of it 2 weeks ago or last week with the soccer agent in. And we're making fun of the Arizona Cardinals, saying, oh, they'll never be on a Monday night game like they were in Jerry Maguire. Well, you know what? They probably will. And Larry Fitzgerald is pretty awesome. And he manages to make up for the fact that Kevin Kolb is just average, right?
You know what? It's not a sexy pick. And I guess that's why they're kind of left out.
That's it.
People just want to see the, you know, when the Patriots are losing the way they did yesterday and you see the game happen tonight. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. At least it's interesting. You know, I don't have any vested interest in any of the teams, so it's fun to watch. But I can imagine some of those fans take that really, really hard in some of the stuff I saw on Twitter after. I mean, woo.
Hey, Green Bay could miss the playoffs now.
Yeah, that's right. You know?
I would imagine that somebody like our coworker Sean Campbell is having trouble sleeping tonight.
Exactly, you know? Guys, have a great evening.
You too, Mike.
Great show as always.
Thank you so much.
You know, I'll be listening for sure.
We really appreciate the support. And once again, Music Over Hockey is the Twitter handle. Thank you, sir.
There's a saying which the a lot of bosses, a lot of owners, and you get this in the hospitality industry a lot. Everybody is replaceable.
Yeah.
No one is irreplaceable. Everyone is expendable. I don't believe in that notion. I believe that there are certain people who excel above all others, and that when they leave your business, they affect that business in a very, very mundane way. They really
Jay,
can
I'm not
bring...
going anywhere, man. Don't worry.
Oh, listen, okay? Yeah. Well, yeah, you're one of them. You're one of them. What would I be without you?
What would I be without you?
Brings another tier.
Oh, we're standing this on a sweet note, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyways.
I see what you're saying, though. And,
yeah.
And
it's proven time and again.
Yeah, but do you think Roger Goodell gives a damn?
Well, no. No, as long as...
Jimmy, we're taping there, right? So we can go a few minutes over. That's okay? Wonderful.
As long as... What? As long as, you know, the sheep keep going out to see the dogs.
Right. So here's a good example, Jay. And if you don't mind us keeping going for a few more minutes?
No.
We as Expos fans, I'm not me, but we the Royal, we the city, decided not to be those sheep. And they stopped going because they were being fed an inferior product and they gave up.
It's because we're Montrealers.
What, we're discerning?
Montrealers don't take crap from anybody. I've learned this over time. That's why we riot. That's why we're constantly having, you know, our little manifs and our little, well, they got kind of big. Montrealers just don't take crap from anybody. It's so clear. It's something in our culture. I don't know. It's something in the mentality of the city where.
It's the water, man. It's something in the water here.
The only time we seem to be taking crap.
It makes the people go crazy.
Yeah, the only people we take crap from is hockey, it seems. And I don't know how much longer Montrealers will. So,
see, I remember like when I got when I got my season tickets for the Habs, it was at a time when the Habs weren't selling out. I feel like those days are over. It was before the marketing machine took over the Montreal Canadiens, before every guy I knew had a jersey and every girl I knew had a hat. And since then, it's, you know, try getting a ticket to a hockey game.
Well,
no matter how
the tickets are all sold out, but not everyone is going to these things.
No,
we saw that last year. I mean, they had a bad year, and you could see there were a significant amount of empty seats.
Oh, I still have half.
Especially later on in the season,
I still have half a dozen tickets sitting in the book.
There you go.
Of games I didn't go to where the tickets just went to waste.
There you go.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
But I'm not the average fan.
But yeah, but it proves my point that Montrealers will not take crap. And eventually...
I also gave up on hockey quicker than I gave up on baseball.
Right.
It's like, well, I know the Habs are going to be here next year, and I don't really want to trek downtown to go watch them lose to Florida. But with the Expos, I would have been like, oh, 14-game homestand? You're only guaranteeing me like 4 wins? Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. Well, the longer this lockout goes, the longer people are going to say, you know, at first they miss it. Then they get kind of annoyed by it.
And then they're like, hey, I've got other stuff to do.
Right. And they say, well, screw them. I'm not going to the games. I'm not going to the games. Why should I? Who are you to do that to me? I'm a Montrealer, damn it. And we don't take any crap from anybody.
God, I hope you're right. Because I don't see how things change if that culture doesn't replace the one that we're in. But that's a tough, tough sell, Jay. To get people to for crying out loud, we have hockey on our money. On the back of the $5 bill is kids playing hockey. Well, with a quote from Le Chandail Ducky.
I'd like to think that in this city, we're not a bunch of lackeys or sheep that just follow, you know, what we're told we're supposed to be doing.
Well, we saw that during the protests, right?
Right. And you can't just give in all the time. I know it's something that you love. I know hockey is deeply ingrained in our culture and in our city.
But
at the same time,
it doesn't mean that you have to love professional hockey. You can love the game of hockey.
Yeah, but I mean, so, professional hockey is everything. It's everything.
I know. It's the Stanley Cup, man. It's everybody still dreams of being the guy holding that cup over there.
Sure. And it's the CH as well. But you know what? I know this city, and you know, I've got a good idea about what people are thinking, what the word is out on the street, and I know that people are not going to put up with this for too long.
So, but then what, Jay? Well, like, okay, so hockey comes back January 1st, okay? Mm-hmm. They realize that they've got to get this Winter Classic played. The Leafs play the Red Wings mm-hmm. at Michigan Stadium. Poor Mike Komisarek loses his Guinness World Booker record. And what happens? Do you think the Habs come back and Brandon Prust gets booed in his first game back? I don't.
I think it'll happen this year.
I remember. You don't think there'll be hockey this year?
No. I don't think that anger against hockey itself, people not showing, like, you know, like you saw in 1995 at the baseball strike, people throwing dollar bills at the players' feet. And you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that. Not yet. But I think this was their last chance. I think this was the NHL's last chance, the owner's last chance, the player's last chance to do something about their CBA.
Here's how I think this goes. Excuse me. Okay. Nothing to be excused about.
Okay. I had to swallow.
That's your...
I'm out of saliva.
It's late. You're allowed. Here's how I see it. Fans side with players until this goes to the playoffs. If this goes to the playoffs, fans suddenly turn against the players.
Well, if it goes that far, they're not going to have a season.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's regular season hockey. And yeah, we're you know, this is the home of the Habs, and we all love regular season hockey. But let's call a spade. Regular season hockey doesn't hold a candle to the playoffs.
No.
From an emotional point of view, if the fan sees the player choose to not play the playoffs, which we know is about heart, which we know is about that boyhood dream, that changes the game.
Right.
In baseball, in 1994, at least from personal experience, I was against the owners until the season was canceled, and then I was against the players. It's this giant game of chicken, Jay. Not chicken, Jay. Chicken, comma, Jay. Just make it clear. This is a giant game of chicken. They're both driving down the road. Unfortunately, it's as if they're playing and they're thousands of miles away from each other. So they're both on the same street. They're both on Yonge Street in Toronto.
Right.
Or one's in Toronto and one's in Manitoba, and they're driving down Yonge, and they're going to mesh at some point. What is going on in here today? Jay?
That wasn't me.
I know.
Anyway, they're walking a thin line and people are not going to put up with it.
No.
This is their last chance to do something about that, because they are never going to be able to pull this off again, because you're going to see a tremendous backlash coming from the people. And I sincerely believe it may start right here in this city with the most prestigious hockey club in the world.
Angry hockey fans, angry football fans, frustrated baseball fans. And what does ESPN do? They put cricket scores on their front page.
Good for them. I like cricket. I enjoy cricket.
I want to thank Brandon Prust for joining us tonight off the top of the show. We'll have that interview up on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com very soon. Mr. Farrar, anything exciting ahead for the next week?
For the next week? No, not really.
No?
Well, it involved in what? I have many aspects to my life, so
yes,
I don't know which one you're referring to.
You're a very interesting dude.
Yeah, well, I've got two very interesting jobs, which I enjoy. I'm a lucky guy,
and a pretty cool
living
life
the dream,
well.
Buddy.
Damn
yeah,
funny.
I got a great. I bitch about it all the time, but you know.
Well, I'll tell you, this job, the one that we share together, is this is my favorite time of the week. Well, right now, actually, in about 2 minutes' time, will be my least favorite time of the week, because it's the longest I have to wait to do this again next week.
Right.
But fingers crossed, Mr. Farrar, I will be tweeting and sending pictures from a very cool place that I have always wanted to go to this weekend. I'm going to keep it vague because nothing is for sure. Nothing in life is for sure. But fingers crossed I get to go somewhere that I will cross off my bucket list this weekend.
Okay.
And somewhere that I've always wanted to go, always pictured, and would be a very cool thing for my...
Greece?
Greece. Elare. I got to brush up on my my Athens.
You certainly do.
Knowledge for when George calls in for the Greece morning show.
This much
show.
Is clear.
My Greek knowledge?
Yes.
Sorry, man.
That's okay.
It begins and ends with Prometheus. What can I say?
There you go.
Better than nothing, right?
Right.
All right. And Peter Angelos. So while my co-host, Mr. Farrar, says go Nationals, I will say put a bird on it, pimp, and go Orioles.
That's the third pimp reference.
Yeah, I know, but you're still beating me 2-1.
Yes, I am. Although I did say hooker earlier, too. So I get...
So you get three?
I get 2.5.
A hooker's only worth half, eh?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what a pimp thinks. Jeez, where are we going?
We're going home.
Good night, everybody.
We're going home. We're going to bed. Try the fish. Waiter's here all week. Tip them well.
So nice.
We need this, Jay. We need to mellow out on this. The end of
Listen
every show.
Listen up, kid. It's not what
Let
you
me rub
think.
Your temples, Ted.
Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge. When the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand. I shot the shit with Miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand. Davy and me, face down in our suit, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Listening to The Kaufman Show, where we don't plagiarize nobody. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman.
I don't know.
Good night and good luck.
What'd that sound like?